Okay, tonight's shir is dedicated to Nishmas Avraham Yitzchak Ben Yaakov. Tonight, I'd like to talk a little bit about Inyan Tisha B'Av, obviously. And if there's time, it's not on my agenda initially, because we devoted an entire shir in the past to the halachas of when Tisha B'Av falls out on Thursday. You can go online and listen if you want to hear more about it. But it is on my to-do sheets at some point tonight, but not my focal point. Meaning, there's a whole share we had last time it fell out like this, where we spent much more time in it. Tonight I want to talk about some of like what I call the loose ends of Hilchos Tisha B'Av that don't get so much attention, but I think are still important. So let's start off with source number one. Ignore the first three sources. Maybe we'll come back to them at a different time. Let's start with source number one. Shulchan Aruch writes, Leil Tisha B'Av v'yoyimo yoyishum v'beis ha'knesses la'aretz ad tfilas ha'mincha. The night of Tisha B'Av and the day of Tisha B'Av, we sit on the floor until Tfilas Mincha. This is the source in Halacha that we all know of and we've all been keeping, that on Tisha B'Av night until sometime in the day, we sit on the floor. Now it's interesting, if you look at the way the Shulchan Aruch words it, it says the night of Tisha B'Av and the day, you sit until, it says you sit in shul. So one can make the following diyak, that let's say I'm not in shul. Let's say I'm at home and I'm doing, I'm learning the sugyas of Tisha B'Av at home. I'm not saying kinnis, but I'm doing other things. Maybe I don't have to sit on the floor. Maybe the sitting on the floor is only in shul when you're saying kinnis. Maybe one can make such a diak, but we'll see if that's a fair diak. But the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly that you stay on the floor until Tfilas HaMincha. Now Tfilas HaMincha can be as early as 1:45 if you daven Mincha Gedolah. It can be later if you daven Mincha Ketana. It's not clear. If you look in the Ramah says, well, before we see the Ramah, what do all Ashkenazim Jews know? Oh, Chatzos, we get up. Where does that come from? So if you take a look in the Ramah, the Ramah's not 100% clear. He writes, V'achshav noyig in leishav al sav saleim miyad achar sheyotzim in beisach nesha shachris. We have a minhag that we get up, we sit on regular chairs, right after we leave shul in the morning.
Now,
exactly. So if it stopped right there, you say, okay, great. So I have an early Tisha B'Av and I have a quick kinnis. By 9 o'clock, I'm on a regular chair. So the Ramah continues. Umarichin im hakinnis ad ma'at kaidim chatzos. But says the Ramah, you're supposed to continue. You're supposed to lengthen the kinnis till a little bit before chatzos. So from this two comments of the Ramah, the Pais can conclude that what the Ramah is really saying is not when your shul finishes shachris, but when your shul should finish shachris, i.e., after chatzos. So even though your shul finishes at 8 o'clock in the morning, you should stay on the floor until after chatzos.
You should be doing,
you should be doing that as well. Correct. Now it's interesting if you take a look over at number two in the Mishnah Brura, he writes, now, why do we sit on the ground in the first place? What's that all about? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, Dam yeda ovel, like an ovel. She yoyishiv agabi karko kol shiva, who sits on the floor during shiva. Umikom mokim einoi chomer kol kach. Says the Mishnah Berurah, nonetheless, this is not as strict. Kemoi chamisha inuim. Right, the Mishnah Berurah is really bothered with the $1 million question. Why does this change a chatzos? Everything else doesn't change a chatzos. Everything else goes till the night of Tisha B'Av. Why is this change a chatzos? The Mishnah Berurah points out, because this is not really one of the five things that you're not allowed to do in Tisha B'Av. Right. Right, because those things are not of the five inuim. Of the five inuim, you know, the rechitza, sikh, anil, all that stuff goes till the night. And every year someone calls after chatzos thinking that they're allowed to do something. I can wear leather shoes, I can do that. No. Everything remains usur except for those things that are merely what we call menhagim. So says the Mishnah Berurah that, first of all, the reason why we sit on the ground is an avelus that we could understand. But here's the hard part. So why doesn't it go a whole day? Why does it stop at chatzos? The Mishnah Berurah doesn't really explain it. He just says it's not as chomer as the other ones. Okay, so that's the fact. So the fact is, except the practice is that after chatzos, we sit on a regular chair. Now, there's interesting, if you look in the Geshur HaChaim, so when we did a couple of sugyas on avelus, we're more like a base avel. We use the Geshur HaChaim a lot, or Michal Chikachinsky's classical work on avel. So he writes something interesting. He points out that there's a shach. The shach in Yerodea number 3 says, Ro'o shach sham shekasav shlo yeshev avel akorn v'kasos. That when an avel sits on the ground, not only does he sit on the ground, he sits on the ground. Meaning not on a low chair like we do today. He sits on the floor proper. V'hu medivya ha-tayis ma'id katan is based on ha-tayis ma'id katan. So when I went to pay a shiva call by my Rebbe, he was taka sitting on the floor flat. No chairs, no, and on the floor mamish. So someone told me that's because of this shita sashach. That the shach writes an oval sits on the floor. Now, I'm sure if everyone here has been to a beis oval, you don't see that. Everyone in the beis oval sits on the misaskim, very comfortable, lower chairs. Why is that? I, the shach. So the Geshur Chaim writes, Ulam Hamidik Kayim Lahokal Hashavas Agabe Kisei Namuch. However, even though the Shach writes that you're supposed to sit on the floor, the accepted practice today is that people sit on something low. Oya Agabe Kar Vahadoyim or on a cushion, something light. Uba Aruch HaShulchan Hevi Raya Mefureshes Lahokam Yerushalmi. The Aruch HaShulchan actually brings a Raya from Yerushalmi against the ruling of the Shach, and therefore the accepted practice is not like the Shach. So when we say even an Avos sits on the floor, it doesn't mean he sits on the floor, it means he sits on a lower version of a chair, which means Tisha B'Av is the same thing. When we say in Hilchas Tisha B'Av that he's supposed to sit on the floor, it doesn't mean, again, the Lashon HaShulchan Aruch says what? Le'o Tisha B'Av Yoishvim B'Beis HaKnes is La'aretz. It sounds like you're on the floor proper. But the chayra, it avails of Tisha B'Av can't be better than, more chama than real avail, so it just means you don't sit on a high chair. Then he writes over here, V'yesh Mahadra, some people have a chumra, Shalayiyah, Sirfrof, Gavoyah, Min Arat Yoyesah, Min Atefach. So, how low does the chair have to be? So the first shita, and we'll see this is the way the Svardin Paskin, is that it should be within one tefach of the ground, which is not very, very much. It's very little, actually. If you take a cushion, a pillow cushion, you're pretty much already at a tefach. So he writes over here, but he says that's the tshuvas adnei sode b'negei l'tishbav v'kaf v'chayim. Again, if it's like that by Tisha B'Av, it's going to be at least like that by an Avo. But says the Geshur HaChayim, Ukayoyim Ein Nizorim B'zeh Gam B'Tisha B'Av. That's not the practice today on Tisha B'Av. V'yoyishim Al Darga Gavoya Yoyisim Mitefach Me'akarka. We will sit on a chair that is higher than a tefach. U'becholosh B'zokin. But if someone is old or not well, Meikol Gam HaShach, even the Shach would agree they can sit on the floor. They don't have to sit on the floor prop. So according to the Geshur HaChayim, we do not... We use more than a tefach. We'll see how much bigger can the chair be, but more than a tefach.
Yeah. Do we actually have a maximum, or it just has to be lower than normal?
So again, we'll see. It sounds like, according to the Geshur HaChaim, it could be bigger than a tefach. Well, how big can it be? So in a different year, we talked about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish's shita was, it just has to be smaller than a regular chair. The Chazon Ish held, it's not, the Chazon Ish wasn't a believer that it has to be measured out in increments. It's just as long as it's smaller than regular, according to the Chazon Ish, that would be good enough to make it to make it a low chair. That was the opinion of the Chazon Ish. But we'll see in a second, Rav Moshe Feinstein gave us an exact measurement. If you take a look over in the Sefer Moedei Yeshur in front of a Felder, he quotes over here, until midday on the 9th of Av, one must sit on the ground or a stool less than 12 inches high. 12 inches is 3 tefach. So 12 inches, so give or take. So it sounds like that Rav Moshe thought you really should be more medactic with the exact measurements, while the Chazon Ish's quote is saying as long as it's perceived as a smaller chair, even though it doesn't exactly fit the exact requirements, it is good enough. The next halacha is also from Rav Moshe, number B. One may sit in a car but should remain standing in a bus or a train. So this is obviously Pasha. When a person goes in a car on Tisha B'Av, he's allowed to drive the car. How else do you want him to get from point A to point B? That's not called sitting. When we talk about sitting, it means pleasure, sitting for pleasure. When a person's sitting in the car, he's just doing to get from point A to point B, so that is mutter. The second thing that he quotes over here, also from Rav Moshe, is a more of a bigger chiddush. Rav Moshe held that you should stand on a bus or a train. Again, here in America, we don't take too many buses or trains on Tisha B'Av, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's very negeya. So Rav Moshe held you should try to stand, because on a train or a bus, you could stand for the same price as you can sit. So why sit if you could stand? Why sit if you could stand? Many Achronim disagreed with Rav Moshe, including Rabbi Yashiv and many other Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, and they felt that what's the difference in sitting on a train and sitting in a car? It's the same idea. It's not a pleasurable sitting. It's just a hechatim sitting get from point A to point B in a way that is maybe the safest or the most efficient.
So you say that standing and sitting are the same thing. Sitting in a low stool and standing.
Right, so the question is, when I have to take a bus to get from point A to point B, so I'm sitting on the bus. That's just because I need the bus to get from point A.
I'm saying, like, if you decide instead of sitting,
Oh, we'll talk about that. We'll come back in a few minutes. We'll see that there might be a zach that not only are you not allowed to sit on a high chair, you might be dafka have to sit on a low chair. We'll see a chiddush like that in a few minutes, hopefully. So this is a shail. Again, I don't know how many people here in New York are taking buses or trains on Tisha B'Av, but it's a machlokes achrayna. But again, there's definitely no reason not to take a car. I know people who won't drive on Tisha B'Av because they have to sit on the car. Mechilas kavoidim. I don't know what they do with going to the bathroom on Tisha B'Av, but it's a problem. It's lower than the Al Gimel Tavachim. I never measured it. I don't know.
The front seats on the city bus are actually lower.
Okay, it's fine. So according to Rav Moshe, I think Rav Moshe's svara is that when you're on a bus or train for the same price, you can stand versus sitting. Okay, so Moshe is saying that why should you? But I don't think a person is b'chuyif to walk on Tisha B'Av, especially this year. It's supposed to be very hot. I wouldn't suggest walking because you don't want to drive in a car. That's not what Chazal, again, it's a minig. It's not Chazal. Chazal did not say this is a minig. So I definitely don't think it is a problem. Interestingly, for the Svardim, they're much more machmir. If you take a look at number 5 in the Akut Yosef, he writes, Leil Tisha B'Av, Yoyim Yoshim, Beisak Nesis, La'aretz, Adzman, Tvilas, Mincha. There's a shayla al pikabola about sitting directly on the floor. Some people hold al pikabola, you should never sit directly on the floor. So Rabbi Vajah's son writes that if the floor is carpeted, I'd say like here, there's a carpet, so that's already not directly on the floor, because there's a hefsik between the floor and you.
What does a real
avol
do when he eats?
Sits on low chair? I don't know. I don't know what they do. The minhag is to sit on a regular chair when they eat. So we'll see. There's such a svara, which we saw on the Sunday morning shift. On Sunday we spoke about it. Because when an oval's eating, he's not expressing avelus. Then he's just being like a regular person. We'll talk about that a little bit more here as well. So he writes, meaning what I think you're getting at, which is something I want to talk about for a second. Let's say an oval has to go to work before Chatzos. Let's say he has to go. So he's going
to...
No, so if he's in shul, what I'm trying to get is, let's say you have a case where the guy, if for some reason, he's working at 11 o'clock in the morning. So he's going to sit on the floor typing an email? Let's say Tisha B'Av for a second. So I want to make the argument that I don't think it makes much sense that an oval should have to do that. Exactly. Meaning, I think the whole musig of sitting on the ground is when you're expressing avelus. If you're working, that's not avelus. So that's an argument I think is meduyik a little bit like that from the Shulchan Aruch. That the only time you express this sitting on the ground is when you're expressing avelos, which is why after chatzos, when we don't say kinnis anymore, we don't. So again, we'll see if that holds water halacha lamais in a second. So just to finish up over the Akut Yosef writes, he says mikol mokim heichad de efshir toiv lahafsik bebeged. So if a person could, even on a carpet, he should put on some form of like beged clothing. Well, motel leishav agav bekarim because you can sit on pillows, I sav salomach or a low chair. Shein gevayim tefach, not three tefachim. Svardim have a much harder time sitting on the ground. They have to make sure it's no bigger than a tefach. However, the muzokein, the toshish koicha, if he's old or weak, if you have a hard time sitting on the ground, then you can get away with three tefachim, but regular people, it's got to be a tefach or less. Now the Taz makes the question that many of you are thinking about, writes the Taz in number 6. He says, you could have learned the Mechaber, that when the Mechaber says, Leil Tisha B'Av Yoyim Yoyishu Beis HaKnes L'Aretz, means you have to. Let's see, one of the guys said, listen, I'd rather stand. I don't like the floor, whatever it is, I'd rather stand. So you could have learned the Mechaber, the Mechaber says, no, you gotta sit. Says the Taz, that's not what the Mechaber means.
Does that express
the Beis HaKnes? Again, you can look at it like this. The din is, you're not allowed to sit on a high chair. Fine, so I'm not sitting on a high chair. I'm standing. So we'll see. We now know we have this new lumdis, because we saw this already, that such a concept of expressing avelus. When a person stands, that's not an expression of avelus.
But if you're saying kinnis, and you can stand afterwards,
yeah,
because
right.
You finish, if you're saying it while you're standing, it's avelus.
Right, so one could make the argument, the Taz is about learning this. One could have learned that when a person says kinnis, he has to bedafka sit on the ground. Because since kinnis is an expression of avelus, maybe when you're expressing avelus, you have to do it in a sitting position. So the Taz, no. If a guy wants to stand for the entire kinnis, that's his business. He's not mechuyev to sit.
How about if you do both? Because your back hurts or something like that. I mean, that's certainly okay, no?
And then the Taz holds you don't have to.
I'm saying whatever.
According to the Taz.
But by Shachris, there's no problem in standing for par.
We'll see. Not so pasha. We'll get to it. Okay. Yeah. So let's continue on the Taz. Zuck right in the Taz. He writes like this. He says, "V'hod shari kam betfilas mincha olam menageinu achachatzois." Why is it Taz? Why is it that sitting on a high chair becomes mutter after mincha according to Svardim and after chatzois for Ashkenazim? B'shum the Tanya shekol hamitzvah sheneges ba'oval noheges b'tisha b'av. Because the Gemara says in Tanya's daf lamed that anything that an oval has, we have on Tisha B'av. V'kam efarash achakach kagayin lechitzah v'sicha. Because if you look up in the Gemara in daf lamed, the Gemara says that all the things that an oval has, we have on Tisha B'av. And if you look at that list, you know what's off the list? Doesn't say anything about sitting on the ground. So the Gemara made a comparison to Avelus and Tisha B'Av, and it listed all the Chamishin women left out Yeshiva ala Karka. Says the Taz, V'loi choshev Yeshiva ala Aretz. Ubereisha mashma klal v'haynu gam Yeshiva ala Aretz. Elo kakorchoch debezei yesh chilok dektsosei osa kemoi ba'ovel uktsosei mutter. Alkein chilkei bizman b'yoyim atzmoi. Says the Taz, for whatever reason, he's not masber why, this was never part and parcel of what's mamish asr on Tisha B'Av. Some person call it, it's a minhag to sit on the floor. And because it's only a minhag, it doesn't apply to the entire Tisha B'Av, only to part of Tisha B'Av. This is the best part. V'hamoin am, the folk, toyim, they make a mistake. V'holchim achach atzois b'minolim. A lot of people say, one sec, if I'm allowed to get off the ground, that means all the rules are suspended, so let's pull out the leather shoes. Says the Taz, it's wrong. It comes from Amaratzis. And some of these people, even after you explain it to them, they still don't get it. And maybe with these people just say, forget it, they're not going to get it anyways. Every year after Chatzos, someone thinks that they're allowed to do something that they're not allowed to do. It's after Chatzos. And you have to explain to them, so what? After Chatzos doesn't change except for one halach, which is sitting on a high chair. And maybe going shopping this year, or maybe cleaning up your house. After that, Chatzos is the same as before Chatzos. What changed? And before working, right, but I'm saying people ask, you know, can I do this type of rechitz and that type of sikha? No, it's still... So the Taz thinks that the mistake starts from this halacha. Once you're allowed to do amida on a high chair, people think, okay, everything else is mutter. And it's absolutely not correct.
You're also allowed to do another thing.
I said, whatever you can't do before Chatzos, you can't do after Chatzos. Now, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he points out another mistake what people make. He says the reason why people make this mistake is because a lot of people used to go to work after Chatzos. They didn't have what we call today Tisha B'Av shoes. So they put on their leather shoes to walk to the office, and then they would take it off or whatever they did. So people said, hey, I see Yenim taking off his shoes, putting on leather shoes. Oh, must be after Chatzos, you're allowed to wear leather shoes. But again, it was Vaita, not the Pshat. The Pshat was because they went to work. And when they went to work, they had to walk outside. And if you have no shoes, you're not mechuyev to break your feet on the hot pavement, so you put on leather shoes. So that's where the mistake came from. But today we have this new thing called Tisha B'Av shoes, which we've spoken about in the past. Okay.
By the way,
yeah.
Did we explain why after Tisha B'Av shoes, sitting on the ground, above the ground is mutter? We said after Chatzos, but do we explain the reason why?
Yeah, because the way the Taz learns is because it was never really awesome, Yekar Adin. It wasn't really part of the Inuyim that Chazal put on to Tisha B'Av. You have to know why not. That's another good question. But that's the way the Taz understood the halacha.
But it's also Din of Avelis.
So yeah, clear. Clearly, Shiva Al-Aretz is a Din of Avelis.
So you're saying it's Svardim, they yeah. Take a Sid Mamash and less than 12 inches on the ground?
It's less than a Tefach.
I'm saying not on Tisha B'Av, I'm talking about...
Real Avelis, yeah. I think so. I think that's what the machmer. That's correct. That's what we do. That's accepted practice. Now, why? I want to make the diak that you only have to do when you're in shul. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch ruins the diak for me. If you take a look at number 7, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, Noyigim the practice is Shein Yoshim al Asafsol Loi Belayla VeLoi BiYoyim Ad LaAchar Atzeraim. So he doesn't say where you are. Doesn't say if you're in shul. He says anyway, wherever you sit, you got to sit on the ground. Ula achar hatzarayim mutarim, and after the afternoon it's mutar. Avol shar dvarim asurim, but all the other restrictions stay in place. Asurim ad tzeisak yichavim, they all stay asur until tzeisak yichavim. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch L'Chayra seems to be bavarning my diuk and saying it's not a diuk. I wanted to tie into the whole din of yeshiva ala karka is only when you are saying kinnis and when you are actively in shul. And maybe when you're home and you're learning, let's say, the Gemara is in Gittin, on daf nun hei, nun vav, maybe you don't have to sit on the ground. No, because Shulchan Aruch seems to assume, and this is definitely the practice in Klal Yisrael, is that wherever you're going to be, and even if you're going to work at 10 o'clock on Thursday, you should also do it on the ground, because that din of yeshiva ala karka, that continues till Chatzos.
People actually sit on a sapsol the entire day. I mean, you don't see any rabbon in the world that, in other words, comes 1 o'clock with chatzos on.
Most people get up, right? Right, because he could.
You don't see anybody machmir on.
Right, usually not. Because the parsha is probably because it's only a minute, and that's why. Right. So most people assume once it's mutter, they do it. Yeah.
Would there be anything in content, I guess, logically, if you wanted to lie on your bed?
We'll talk about it. We'll get to that in a second. We'll see. Someone showed me, if I can't remember where I saw this, that you shouldn't lay on a recliner on Tisha B'Av. Now, I don't know what that means.
Before
Chatzos. After Chatzos is not a problem. You can do anything. The Shaila is. So we're going to see, we'll see a chiddush from Rebbe Eliashiv about not sitting or standing, but the right position to be when reciting kinnis. That we'll talk a little bit more about. So again, obviously, if people have back trouble or uncomfortabilities, it's let me boy. We're not talking about those people. We're not talking about the people that have bad backs and bad knees and bad this and bad that. Or, you know, the women. I remember I used to fight my wife. She used to nurse the babies on the floor. Like, you're nursing the baby on the floor. Sit on a chair. You know, I don't think you have to do things like that. People, yeah. You know, it's a minute. Yeah, it's only a minute. We don't have to go as a fight. Now, if you take a look over in. Yes, yeah, so I decided not to go through that Mechab and Ramah about the uncomfortable sleeping version. We'll mention it. Mechab brings down the Ramah also that you're supposed to sleep more in a discomforted position. Whatever that is for each person. Some people it means without a pillow. Some people means with a less pillow. Some people means on the floor.
Some people do it.
Some people with stones. Some people, okay.
Does that apply to that also during the Shiva?
Right, so that I don't think they do. I don't think they do during Shiva.
Interesting that this is actually
so again, so because it's a one-time thing. So we can, you know, for one night, we tell you to go without sleep. If you look in Rav Moshe Shtembach and the Sefer Ma'idim Zmanim, and he just got appointed the head of the Gaivid, so he got a big position. They just gave him after the last Gaivid, Rabbi Weiss, was Nifter about a year ago, so they just made Rav Moshe Shtembach the head of the Gaivid in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, he deserves it. He's a big Talmid Chacham. So he writes this in number 8. In his Sefer Ma'idim Uzmanim, this is not his halachic classical Sefer. This is his Lomdusha classical Sefer. His halachic classical Sefer is called Tshuvas Vanog, the Shas and Tshuvas that he wrote. His son actually wrote them when he lived in South Africa. The Ma'idim Uzmanim is his Lomdusha Sefer that he uses on different inyonim. Very geshmaka stuff. So he writes like this. Well, the Niz died near Lichadish. He wants to come up with a he wants to say that when a person's reciting kiddush, he bedavka has to sit down. Not stam that he if he sits, it has to be on a low chair. No, he bedavka has to be in the sitting position for reciting the kiddush. And what's his right?
He means mamish to ground.
Well, whatever you, right. What it means, whatever you're going to hold for aretz. So he says, v'naktim lezeh. He says, I'll give you an introduction. Then Ovos Chayiv, what's called Kfiyas Amita. Ubishashina Vachila Yoshev Amita Kfuya. And when he's sleeping, when he's eating, he sits on a bent bed. I will call him the rest of the day when he's entertaining guests. Eina Yoshev Afilo Amita Kfuya El Agabekarka. So the Mechaber draws a distinction between what an Ovos doing when he's by himself. Achila Vishina, like we said last, yeah, on Sunday we explained, an Ovel needs to eat and needs to drink and sleep, but that's not an expression of his Avel, that's his expression of being a human being. Mashiach, when he's entertaining, when he's being Menachem Ovel, so then the Mechaber says, we're more Machmer what type of chair he sits on. So Moshe Shtembach says, "Umashma diyesh ba'avelus halachim yuchedes, tebishas biker ha'menachemin po yileish v'gabi karka davka." You see from over here that when it comes to the time when he's being menachem avelim, well, avelim are being menachem him, which means he's expressing his state of avelus. Then there's an inyan that what there should be davka la karka. Ubishas shino v'achilo lebinin sheyesh v'gabi karka. But when he's eating and sleeping, then he doesn't need to be on the karka. Why? Because he's not acting as an oval. Then he's acting as a human being who eats and sleeps. So says Rav Moshe Shtembach, following that lomdus, he wants to say the same thing. It's not enough that he doesn't sit on a high chair. He can also stand on his feet. The weight of, and again, this is very geshmak in what we spoke about on Sunday morning, that there's such a kind of expressing avelus. When a person says kinas and echa, that's his expression of avelus. So then you gotta do it on the ground. Mitzvah davka liyeshev al aretz kishemisavel v'omer echa v'kinas. So even though we saw from the Taz, right, Rav Moshe Shtembach can't argue on the Taz. The Taz says there's no iser if you stand, but you're not being mekayim. You're not being mekayim nihug avelus if you're standing. So he writes, mikomokim kiyum mitzvas avelus inkan. You do not get an extra check of expressing avelus when you stand. Nice. Again, a chumra, a new chumra. That if a person decides, let's say Tisha B'Av night, it's a short service. So you figure, I'll stand for Eich, I'll stand for the 3-4 Kinnusim, and I'll sneak out, I'll go out, no one has to know, no one bothers me. According to Moshe Shtembach, no, you Davka should sit on Leil Tisha B'Av. Again, during the day of Tisha B'Av, there might just be a practicality to it because it's a lot of hours. But the night one's pretty quick. Eicha, if you get the right Balkaira, you're in and out within a few minutes. So you say yourself, listen, no, I don't have to sit for it. I don't like the chairs anyways, the shul's giving me, the shul's crowded, the shul's this, I'll just stand. According to Rav Moshe Shtembach, it's not awesome, but the more correct position to be in would be sitting on the ground.
According to this, Rav Moshe Shtembach, when you go to be Menachem Avel, because I just saw this literally twice within the same week by different people, when you say Amakim Menachem, does the person Bedavka have to sit or not?
So that's what this is based on. He's assuming that when you're Menachem Avel, you have to be sitting. because that's an expression of avelus.
So they can't be standing. Yeah.
That's
now, according to him, or
right, that's okay, I don't know if that's the way we pass him, but that's what he's getting at. The oval has to be sitting,
yeah,
because that's an expression. Again, the oval, you mean Menachem oval him, but that's his expression. If avelus, he should be sitting down. That's his chiddush. That's his chiddush. That's where he's getting it from.
Yeah.
But he has a good question of Moshe Shtembach. He says, if I'm right, why does no one say it? Why doesn't anyone say that? So the truth is, it sounds like that from the Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like that from the Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to sit when we say Eicha V'Kinnas. He says, he wants to say maybe Eicha and Kinnas are not really mandatory. So if they're not really mandatory, then they're not really an expression of Avelos. You only express Avelos if it's something you have to do. If you don't have to do it, then it's not an expression of Avelos. The option, oh, Gal Pi Rabbeinu Hagra, I the Gra, used to make a bracha on Eicha. Even though you're right, there is no chiyuv. Im omar mitzvasi agabi karka dafka. If you choose to say Eicha V'Kinnas, no one's going to tell you that you make the yain yain nesach if you don't say Eicha V'Kinnas, but you should. And when you do it, you should sit on the floor because that's an expression of avelus. No, but how do you express it? When you walk around in Tishbev, you're not showing Avelis in any way. The only way you show it is when you're doing something that an Oval does, or the Tishbev of Avelis does. Now it's interesting, Reb Chaim Kanevsky disagreed with this. They quote Reb Chaim Kanevsky number 9, he said, Ula Magayin Reb Chaim Kanevsky Shlita, obviously now Zatzal. Hey Shavli, he responded to me in the Sefer Kari Alamayit, a great Sefer, written by Yid Rabbi Septimus. He says, Reb Chaim Kanevsky told me, the Mutter Lamed B'Shasa Kinnas. So if you're in a shul and the Gabbai starts telling you have to sit for Kinnas, you can tell him, yeah, Reb Chaim Kanevsky said, I don't have to. You might have to sit because that's shul policy, and then you have no protection from Chaim Kinevsky when it's shul policy. But he writes, Chaim Kinevsky thought it's not about sitting or standing; it's about just not sitting on a high chair. So it's interesting. Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a very interesting question over here. He writes in number 10, "Vayirabenu tema, ma tam nogu lokim agabi karkel amiras kelitzion." Frektim Shlomo Zalman. Now I have a kasha. If you're supposed to stay on the ground for kinnas, why does everyone stand up to recite Kelitzi on the last kinnah? Sharehi mechala kinnish oifin amirasan hayibishim laarot kabel.
Nicely, that's why.
But it doesn't get to the end. The beginning of the kinnah is still hot. So frektim shlam mezalmin v'rakla acha shoymrin kol titein misaimin b'psukin nechama. The beginning is sitting. So frektim shlam mezalmin. Why does everyone stand up for that? So the answer is because people are standing up with 3 feet out already. They're done for the day. That's the answer. But what's the halachic answer? So shlam mezalmin leaves off with a kasha. Why tackle the people stand up? Now, I'm trying to remember back. I think people stand up for the other kinnah also, but say Simi Yerushalayim. I don't know, but everyone stands up for that also. So I always thought that was just a stretching standing. Oh, they don't stand here? Oh, yeah, Marshall, I think we stand up for it. I think so. Maybe I don't remember.
Seventh inning stretch.
I always thought it was more like a stretch purpose. That's when I sneak out to go to the bathroom, but that's just me. They stand or don't stand? So you see Claude from Rosh Hashanah that the minute was not to stand there, because he only has a kasha when he gets to the last kinnah. But here, it seems like they used to sit. That's a shot? That's why they stand. Could be? I don't know. So they quote over here from Chaim Kanievsky that he gave a teretz. Number 11, he says, Ubiteretz amayadim kaseh b'shem agayin of Chaim Kanievsky shum shum kovid akinnah. The reason why we stay the reason why we stand for that last kinnah is because of covered for the kinnah. Yeah, I don't know why that, right, you know, I'm not sure what that means. There's a big tumult, not for now, there's a big tumult about the last kinnah, who wrote it, and why do we sing it, who made up the tune. There's a lot of historical shailas about that last kinnah, but we'll leave it for now. But interesting, if you look at number 12 in the Sefer Darkei Chaim Shalom, that records the practices from the Munkach Rebbe. So he writes, he would sit on a low chair during all the kinnas at night, and during the day, he would not stand. Mamish, not stand, but Dav could not stand during the recitation of the kinnas. They did it sitting. Not like if Shlomo Zalman's bothered with the kasha, why do you stand? So they attack it, didn't stand. They would sit for that pizman, but again, you'd be hard pressed. I don't know what they do with munkash, but you'd be hard pressed to find a shul today where they don't stand up for that last kinnah. They asked Rabbi Yashiv a very interesting question, number 13. They asked Rabbi Yashiv the following question. Nishal Rabbeinu was asked Rabbi Yashiv, Mishal Yochol Hashavas Al Kisei Namach. A person cannot sit on a low chair. Hayila Pritzas Disk Bigabo.
Yeah.
Okay, it's got this problem. It's very, very, very typical, very common.
Yeah.
So what's the shaila? Okay, he can't sit on a low chair. So how you odd if lishka bebayis v'loy mekinis? Should he sit on a high chair at home in his house? Lay down at home. He'll stay kinis at home on his couch or in his bed. Or he'll come to shul and he'll be the only guy in a high chair. That was a shout presented to Rabbi Yashu. Right, so the shout to elderly people, people with back problems.
There's no Indian to say kinis with a minion.
No, there is no Indian to say kinis with a minion, but we'll see Rabbi Yashu.
No rova on a hundred.
No. So. What bothered Rabbi Yashu was saying kinis in bed. That's what bothered Rabbi Yashu.
But if you're at home on a chair, you don't have to be back in a bed.
That was a shayla. The shayla was you have two choices. Either come to shul and do it on a high chair, a regular chair, or if you're going to do it at
home. How about do it at home on a high chair?
No, the shayla was that he'd push himself to come to shul. So Rabbi Yashu answered, Heshev Rabbeinu, Tzuras Amiris B'kinnis Hu B'yeshiva Al-Oretz. V'loi Marviach Klum Kish'oma B'shchiva. You don't gain anything if you do it laying down. I mean, why do it lay down? Do it on a regular chair. So he told him, come to shul already. I mean, this guy thought that it's better to do it on a bed, laying down, than it's to do it on a high chair. So Rabbi Yashu said, no, that's not true. He said, come to shul already and do it in a regular chair in shul. V'shalu midubim b'rav basic nesses. The problem is the person asking was the rav of the shul. V'heshev Rabbeinu imkein ein leze sheyoshev basic nesses al kisei gavoy. Ein leze tam. Why? The kula mistaklam alof. Everyone stares at the rabbi. The rabbi's sitting on a nice, comfortable chair.
I have missing sphere and everything else.
I'm not sure why they don't know that the rabbi has back problems also. I guess they don't care enough about the rabbi. So, v'shalayov, the basic lesson. Me'el zogte b'liyashiv, once you're not going to sit on a high chair in shul, then my will is to stay at home already, do it. There's no milo. But b'liyashiv's chiddush to me is that he held a certain surah to how you recite kinnis, and kinnis should not be recited when laying in a bed. Obviously, if a person has no choice, he's not feeling well, mom can't get out of bed. But other than that, it should not be recited in a laying position. Let's talk a little bit.
What would be the shaila if he stayed? Is it better to go to shul, sit in a high chair, or stay at home?
So he said it's better to come to shul and sit in a high chair, yeah.
But that's not bad.
All right, so once you're not...
Even as a rabbi?
No, he said that everyone looks at the rabbi. I don't know why everyone looks at the rabbi. I think people should just know...
Facing
they should just know that the rabbi's got a back problem. Let him be. I don't know. They should take care of him. I don't know. Get him a good doctor, you know? But in any case, let's talk a little bit about washing our hands on Tisha B'Av. So if you look on the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Noit L'Odim Yodim Shachos, next page, page number 14. Shulchan Aruch says the Mechaber, Noit L'Odim Yodim Shachos, the person should wash his hands in the morning. V'tzarech Lizor Shalita Yodim, you should be careful not to wash your hands. Ella Atzayf Kishri Etzboisav. Only until the end of the knuckles. Up till the knuckles, we don't wash the entire wrist, we just wash till including the knuckles. I don't know. I'm not sure if they have the same din.
So why would this be imposed?
Because no, because we know there is an Isra Rechitza on Tisha B'Av.
No, thanks. So that was a Rechitza is deemed something.
Yes. Well, now we'll see this. Right, exactly. It's like Yom Kippur, maybe. Let's keep on going. Says the Mechaber. Ula'acha shegina of Yodav, and after you dry your hands, v'adayin lochus k'tzas, you have still some moisture on your hands. Ma'aviram al-inav, you could put them on your eyes to get the gook out of your eyes. V'mayolifluf al-gabi inav, v'darche l'rochtem b'mayim. Let's say you have something, right, on your eyes, and you normally wash them every morning. Reichetu ma'aviroi v'inachoshes, you can wash them, and it's no problem. Why? The havale kitit u'kitsoya shereichet kedaki v'inachoshes. Because it's like dirt. If a person has dirt on his hands, person has mud on his hand, the person changes a dirty diaper on Tisha B'Av, he's got mamish soya on his hands or other things, he's allowed to wash that because rechitza doesn't mean moving dirt, rechitza means pleasure. Therefore, says in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to wash your hands only up until the soif kishri etzbois. Why? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah says, Mishum ruach ra, sharel yadayim. Why am I washing my hands in the morning? I'm not washing my hands in the morning for pleasure. Right, do goyim wash their hands in the morning? I would assume not. Why should they? Why would you wash your hands in the morning? You brush your teeth in the morning, you don't wash your hands. Why do we wash our hands, says the Mishnah Berurah? Because we have a din, Mishum Rach Ra, Sharel Yadayim. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, the Havale Kimuluchlich Betit Ubitsoy de Mutter. So therefore, when I wash my hands in the morning, says the Mishnah Berurah, it's like, it's Kilo, my hands are spiritually dirty. Just like if my hands would be physically dirty, I'd be allowed to wash them. So now my hands are spiritually dirty. So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's why you're allowed to wash them. That's the other reason. But either way, Mr. Buhr's point is that the washing that I'm doing in the morning is not a pleasure washing. Any washing that you're doing for halachic reasons is not deemed pleasure.
Even though you get pleasure from doing
it. Even though there might be, but that's not why I'm doing it. Now the question is, if that's true, so why can't I wash the whole hand? So the Mr. Buhr, number 16, points out that what? He said, because really there's a machlokes b'shoinim, how much ever do you have to wash of your hand? Do you always have to wash until the fingers, or do you always wash to the wrist? So really, Mekar Din, according to the Psak Halacha, you really only have to wash the Kishri Etzba Yisav on a regular day. We'd rather wash the whole wrist because, hey, why not? water is not that expensive. So therefore, on Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur, we go back to the Me'ikar Adin. We go back to really what the halacha is, and therefore we only wash until the end of the fingers.
The washing is associated with the fast. It's a fast day.
Yeah.
Like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not a day of mourning.
Right, so Yom Kippur is a good discussion. Now, Yom Kippur is not mourning. It has the Chamisha Nuyim, but not because it's a day of mourning. So that's a very important akuda, that there's two elements to Yom Kippur / Tisha B'Av. One is Avelus, and one is what we call a Yom HaTinus. A Yom HaTinus carries Chamisha Nuyim, even though it's not Avelus, 100%. But that still carries in Issur Rechitz. The Chazinish, in number 17, now we're going to start reading a lot faster because we're short on time. The Chazinish told Reb Chaim Kanevsky that he doesn't think you have to be so crazy about measuring to make sure your hand, the water doesn't go a little bit over your knuckles. And the Chazon Ish makes a good argument. The Chazon Ish's argument is fakert. Now that you told me that you're washing your hands just because of halachic purposes, so now it's bechlal not usur to wash. You're not allowed to wash because it's pleasure. It's not pleasure. It's halachic washing. So tana de Chazon Ish, so you should be able to wash anywhere. So he told Chaim Kanevsky he's not so makbid about exactly where the water goes. And my raya is, I think, number 18 is a shtaka raya. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, if tefillah bizmanah mitzvah, you'd be allowed to be tovel on Tisha B'Av. It's just that we hold tefillah bizmanah, we hold there's no tefillah bizmanah today. But if tefillah bizmanah, let's say a person would have a mitzvah to go, he'd go on Tisha B'Av. How can you go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av? The answer is, halachic washing is not a pleasure washing. So when I wash my hands in the morning for the nekavasa, it's not a pleasure washing. But the ma'aseh, Shulchan Aruch says this, so we try our best. Again, don't go crazy if a little water scoots down your wrist. You don't have to clap al-chet over it, but the point is we try our best to wash just to the knuckles. What about when you go to the bathroom on Tisha B'Av? How much do you wash then? So if you look in the Kitzur Shonach number 19, he says, V'chein kishas etzrach, when you go to the bathroom, mutar lirchatz yadav kitzas kidarkoi tamid. Meaning not everyone washes a whole wrist or even all the fingers when they go to the bathroom. Some people have a little water here, whatever they do. So whatever you do normally when you go to the bathroom, you may do on Tisha B'Av as well. So those who do, yes, I didn't read it inside. The Chazon Ish says, so those who do that when they go to the bathroom, they could. If that's your practice.
And as far as before
tefillah? Mishnah Berurah brings down that before you daven mincha, you can also wash your hands. But again, atzav kishri atzpoisa before mincha. Now it's interesting, they quote from Rav Moshe number 20, before praying services, the hands should be washed halfway up the fingers.
Not
even all the way, according to Rav Moshe. And then he writes, after using the restroom facilities, the hands should be washed to the knuckles. However, one should be certain to have first touched that part of the body that is normally covered. Again, when you go to the bathroom, that's usually covered, almost always. So therefore, according to Rav Moshe, that would then allow you to wash even more.
So purposely use the bathroom before you daven?
No, but the Mishnah Berurah does say that you should purposely use the bathroom before you make a brach on a tisadayim in the morning. If for some reason a person does negavasana at the same time when he comes out of the bathroom, Mishnah Berurah says he should try to go to the bathroom so this way he can make a brach on a tisadayim. The Paskins of Mishnah Berurah. Now, Rabbi Yashiv Paskins, interesting, in both number 21, 22, and 23, Rabbi Yashiv has an interesting chiddush. He writes that, let's say, for example, you have to do dishes on Tisha B'Av. So he says you do not have to wear gloves. You don't have to wear gloves. I'm not sure why not. It's not such a big deal. A lot of people wear gloves today when they wash dishes, sensitive skin or whatever it is. Rabbi Yashiv says you don't have to. You could just do dishes in the sink because it's not Rechitzah Shaltanik. I'm not enjoying the water. I'm just trying to wash the dish. He also points out if you have to wash babies or children, you also can do so regularly and it's not a problem because, again, that's not pleasure. You're just doing it to get the kid clean. You're doing it just to be able to get the soap off or the dirt off the child. Quickly take a look over at number 24, from Rav Moshe, Rabbi Felder. Quotes also from Rav Moshe, one who perspires heavily may use deodorant on the 9th of Av. Footnote, Kach Shemati Mimoran Shlito. He heard this from Rav Moshe. Why? Because he's only using it so he doesn't sweat. Ein ze ela kemoy sicha lerfua. Again, one of the things you're not allowed to do on Tisha B'Av is sicha, you're not allowed to shmir. So again, shmiring usually means a pleasure shmir. No one gets a geshmak out of rolling their deodorant in the morning. It's not like, that was a geshmak, It was just because you're doing it to not smell in the morning. So that is mutter. And number 25 and 26 from Shmuel Kamenetsky, he says you're allowed to put on moisturizer on Tisha B'Av. You're allowed to put on, what's it called? On the lips, not the Plistex, the other one that people use today.
Chapstick
or the moisturizer they use, whatever. Anything that goes on the lips, that's Vaseline, thank you. Anything that you're using in the context of medicinal reasons, that is not considered sikh. So a person puts, someone asked me about sunscreen. That's a good one. Yeah, sunscreen also. Sunscreen is not a pleasure rubbing. That's, you got to get the sunscreen on so you don't get burnt. So all that stuff is mutter. That's not considered sikh.
So deodorant that's a spray doesn't even have a shayla because it's not sikh.
That's correct.
You don't have to use it because you're
perspiring heavily. You just signed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure what he meant by perspire. I think most people in the summer, with the weather, is going to perspire heavily. Purell also. I was going to get to that. Yeah, Purell also is mutter. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky writes over here. I didn't read it because we're really short on time. He says same thing with soap. If a person goes to the bathroom and likes to use soap, then they're allowed to use soap because again, that's not pleasure. Same thing with Purell. Purell, no one enjoys rubbing together that kishmaka feeling. It's just to stay healthy with germs.
Is it more recommended than soap?
No, I think it's the same. I think whatever you use is fine. So let's talk about the topic that's on everyone's mind. Maybe doesn't matter. It's the whole day. Let's talk about the topic that's on everyone's mind. Maybe it shouldn't be on everyone's mind yet, but it is. When does everything become mutter? Okay, Shrine. We didn't even start Tisha B'Av yet, and everyone's already done with Tisha B'Av. Okay, fine. So what's the deal with what becomes mutter on Tisha B'Av? So let's try to do this in 4 minutes or less. Now, again, if you want to hear more about the topic, we had an entire share in it. Ayin Sham Barichas. The point is like this. The Shulchan Aruch brings down in number 27 that there is a mina kosher, he calls it. There's a mina kosher that even after Tisha B'Av, we don't eat basa and we don't have yain. Why is that? That's because the Gemara tells us that really the Beis HaMikdash burned on the 9th into the 10th. Even though on by mincha time, after Chatzos on the 9th, we pointed out that we're somewhat more lenient. But nonetheless, it's actually contrary to what happened in history because that's actually when the Beis HaMikdash started to burn. So the Mechaber brings down a practice that we don't eat basa v'yayin the entire next day. The Ramah says, no, only till Chatzos. Fine. So that is that. Now, the question is, that's very nice. So most of us probably don't have such a big yearning for basa v'yayin Thursday night. What about the other things that we want to do? Shower, shave, laundry, etc. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, in Be'er Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah brings down a machlokes apoiskim. Are those things included in this minhag? It's only a minhag. Were these things included? So Mishnah Berurah brings down some paiskim say they're not included. And the Mishnah Berurah says, but I am machmir. And that's why he writes in his Sefer Mishnah Berurah, he says one should not do rechitza, tespiris, all that stuff until after Chatzos on the 10th. However, the Mishnah Berurah does write in another place, but when Tisha B'Av falls out on Thursday, everything's mutter. But this is the part of the Mishnah Berurah that people don't read. Mishnah Berurah says, Hakol mutter l'chavit Shabbos. Okay? Which means, l'cha'ira, that whatever you're going to do after Tisha B'Av, you have to ask yourself, is this covered Shabbos? So Thursday night, you ask yourself, what do you want to do Thursday night? You want to go swimming? Okay, no, that's not covered Shabbos. You want to listen to music? That's not covered Shabbos. So what do you want? You want to do laundry? Oh, good, laundry. So what laundry? So l'chaira, one should have to do the laundry that's only for Shabbos. The socks and undershirt or whatever you're going to wear for Shabbos. So Shlomo Zalman already is makel. Shlomo Zalman says no. And you can throw in everything. Even as long as you should have some stuff that's for covered Shabbos. Some. But as long as you have covered Shabbos, then you can throw in everything else as well. What? No, not on Tisha B'Av itself. There was a minhag.
Thursday night, though, right after.
We're talking about Thursday night. We're talking about after the fact. There was a minhag brought down by Svadish Apoiskim that the women used to do these types of things after Chatzos. That was such a practice. Not so endorsed by the Ashkenazim, but the Svadim had a practice that the women used to do laundry and clean up the house and all these other things after Chatzos. Yeah.
Because they thought Mashiach was coming that day, right?
That's one reason. The other reason is because they didn't know what else to do at that time. Depends how you want to say it, but that was such a practice. So halacha l'maisa, very bekitzer, I think you can justify doing laundry. What about shaving and haircut? So the answer is, it depends. If this is going to be your shave and your haircut for Shabbos, then it's mutter. If this is not your shave and haircut for Shabbos because you're going to fix it and tamper with it and play with it tomorrow afternoon, then it's not mutter. So the answer is, if you're going to get ready for Shabbos Thursday night, and this is going to be your shave for Shabbos, then it's mutter. It's covered Shabbos.
What would you say is machmir? What's it with respect to all these items?
It is.
Everything you could do the night before, really.
If it's for covered Shabbos.
Oh, I thought the whole meaning of going even to the next day... It's just a chumrah.
It is a chumrah, but Mishnah Berurah says, we do keep that chumrah. No, he says that, he writes it in the Sefer. He says in Mishnah Berurah, we should be machmer, but when there's covered Shabbos, so covered Shabbos pushes it away. So
let's say you're going to shave and shower, and you shave for sure, let's say Thursday night, because you're not going to shave again.
Fine, so that's mutter.
No problem.
Yeah.
What happens, you want to shower,
yeah.
And then if I'm sweaty right before shower.
I can't imagine, unless the guy's traveling, he's going to shower again before Shabbos.
So he shouldn't shower.
I don't think so. I find that a hard sell. Now, I'll tell the Olam, there's a gewaltig chiddush from this in Karelitz.
Everyone says,
I don't know where they got it from. I would love to know. Maybe I'm missing something.
What was that?
Everyone says this year things are different. Everything's mutter Thursday night. What's mutter? The Mishnah Berurah says clearly the only things that are mutter are things that are covered Shabbos. If you take a look in 34, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky speaks this out before. And it's in the Sefer Kohen, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky speaks this out before. But there's an interesting chap this year from Nissen Karelitz, Alam de Shechap, which you could debate. And Nissen Karelitz holds, number 33, Nissen Karelitz holds, you can go swimming Friday morning. How do you justify going swimming Friday morning? So Dr. Nissen Karelitz said this, Friday morning you can take a shower for Shabbos. So once there's no Isser Rechitza or Minig Rechitza, it's not it wipes out all of the Isra Rechitza. And even
the
Tana.
The 9 days, or is
9
considered still part of the
That's part of the Shaila. So when we did the Sugya last year, this we went to that much more. The Shaila is, can you make Shechiyonu and all these other things? So that's a bigger Shaila. But this one, this in Karel, is a Gevalde Gechap. And this in Karel, it says that once Friday morning, you're allowed to take a regular shower, hot shower. So how could it be that I can take a hot shower? For Kavod Shabbos.
One
Right, so he has a chizm, he has a chiddush. That once there's a heta for Kavod Shabbos Friday morning, so then there's no isser anymore of rechitza.
So, but can you take
three? Only if you do it in the Kavod Shabbos.
That's what I would have said. Right. He has his chap. He thinks that there's no musig of a minig of only some rechitzas.
So Thursday night, could you take a 9-day shower?
About the Thursday night, you take a 9-day shower, 100%.
Oh, you could.
Thursday night, definitely could. About the question is, you want to a 9-day shower?
Yeah, I mean,
that's fine. You want to go swimming Sunday, again, I think Lebesikum, if you want to go swimming, I think you should wait till after Chatzais on Friday. You want to do laundry, I think you can do it Thursday night. If you want to take a hot shower, I think you should wait till after Chatzais as well. Or your shower before Shabbos. If you're going to shower this year, this week, at 10 o'clock in the morning, because you're traveling, that would be mutter as well. 100% mutter right after the fest, yeah.
Anytime.
Right after the fest, it becomes
so bottom.